We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We ask and beg for your patience and understanding on this Thursday afternoon, because not only is the news ever changing, as Dana and I are well aware, having just run into the studio from out in the newsroom where we were watching a hastily called news conference down in Texas. But the phone lines are being switched over today here on a call-in show, and we're having those installed as we speak. We also have a new phone number for those of you over the last 16 years of this show and 10 with Dana and me. You've gotten used to the same number. It's changed.
New phone, who dis?
It is the dumbest possible new phone number that anyone could have dreamt up in a corporate office somewhere, because they have simply changed one number, which means you will fumble over it, we will fumble over it.
Be prepared.
The entire town is going to fumble over this. It would be like changing 911 to 827, because why not? The new number is 5867798. And if we are fortunate enough to be here another 4.5 years, I will still not be able to say that number correctly.
Now, we should also point out,
why not just start over with a whole new number that has nothing to do with anything?
Call DNP.
Yeah, whatever.
913, call DNP.
But the number they picked, which is just transposing one number into a new number that sounds like the old numbers.
Now,
got it.
There is an additional caveat to this. You have to have the 913. It used to be 816 or 913.
Yeah.
Now it's just 913.
Yeah. Sorry, Missouri, you're out. We did not have the money for both phone lines, so we're just going with the old 913, and now it is 5867798. Does that spell something? Give me a second here. And I hope it does. And I hope it's something fabulous like
Five, beep, beep, beep. So you got a K, and there is a U in there.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I got a U coming for you right
never
here.
Never mind. I just found it. Stop. Just stop.
Please tell me it's something good. Please. Well, please.
We'll let the text line figure it out. By the way, that's the same number for the text line. So, and I was explaining to Dana and Sam, a lot of you over the years have saved the call-in number into your phones, especially those of you who are regulars calling into the program. You're going to need to change it. It's not 5767798. It's now 5867798.
Got it.
And you may be trying to call, and you may be having some trouble today. They are installing the new phone lines, and they're not fully functional yet. What? Did you just figure it out?
No, I'm looking. Just give me a second.
I'll explain it to you in an upcoming break.
Kay. What's even better is that my phone has random numbers all over it right now, so that's fun.
Hmm.
Got it.
I don't know what you're talking about there, Sam. That made absolutely no sense.
The phone situation is a complete abortion, and that is the same word I use to describe the news conference that we just finished watching. It has been 48 hours since the latest massacre in the United States. And for some reason, the Texas Department of Public Safety thought it would be a good idea to go out in front of a global media audience and say on a loop, they don't know what took so long to get into that school.
Yeah,
which I'm calling BS on that right now.
Yeah.
trust me, they know exactly what this timeline was.
They know minute to minute.
They know minute to minute. They have all of the video from the first responders' body cameras. They have video of this idiot going into the school.
Right.
Trust me when I say, now believe nothing that you hear coming out of Texas. Because the story yesterday was they ran immediately in, they engaged the suspect, they shot the suspect. That was a lie. That was just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We now know there were parents outside, Scott, begging authorities to let the dads go in. The fathers were saying, give me a vest, let me go in.
Yeah, that's true. The parents were begging. We'll play a portion of the rather hastily called news conference by the Texas Department of Public Safety, which is to be the Texas Highway Patrol, in essence, or the Texas Police Department, State Patrol. They held a news conference literally minutes before we came on the air, and it did not go well because the stories have been coming out that parents were begging them to go in. They were waiting for reinforcement, and dads were saying, give me your vest. I'll go in and take care of this. Just give me the damn vest, and they were not. Here is a portion of the news conference. This is a spokesman for the Texas Department of Public Safety trying to answer questions about the timeline and the suggestion that the shooter was in the school for up to or even more than an hour.
Until we receive an interview, because there was numerous officers at that classroom, numerous. Once we interview all those officers, what they were thinking, what they did, why they did it, the video, the residual interviews, we'll have a better idea. Could anybody have gotten there sooner? You got to understand, small town. Yeah, people from Eagle Pass, from Del Rio, Laredo, San Antonio responding to a small community.
You're right. Uvalde, Texas is a relatively small community, but it's not that small. It is a town of 16,000 people, and they do have a functioning and workable police department. Think Ottawa, Kansas, plus a couple thousand more people. And I used to work in Ottawa years and years ago. Yes, it's a small community, but it's not a small town. King City, Missouri is a small town. Uvalde, Texas has 16,000 people in it. There are plenty of reports coming out that the police were basically waiting for backup. That is not, and we'll hear from ABC's Pierre Thomas here in just a moment, that is not, in the wake of Columbine in 1999, how police are now trained. Everything changed 23 years ago after Columbine.
The lessons of Columbine, they started training police to go in immediately, keep engaging the suspect so that he cannot kill people. Two things struck me about the briefing. Number one, that the door, he walked into the school unimpeded, that there was no school resource officer available to confront him initially. And Whit, you're zeroing in on the thing. They confront him as he's in the building. They take fire. They move back. He goes into the classroom based on the account we were just given, and he's in the classroom for some period of time holding the officers at bay. And did he kill the children initially in a quick burst? We just don't have the answers to that, but you hit the nail on the head. The point is you have to continue to engage the suspect so he cannot attack other people. That is a critical question.
And it's such these are difficult questions because nobody wants to question, you know, the courage or the bravery. We know that officers went in there and officers were shot and they were working to save other kids. But these are questions that ultimately do need to be answered.
All right, that is Pierre Thomas and Whit Johnson from ABC News.
A couple of other facts that have come out in the last 24 hours. We do know there were four children who survived, and you cannot even imagine, Scott, the four kids who were in that room that survived the carnage. And it's my understanding they survived because they were hiding under a table that had like a black draped tablecloth over it. And they hid. Keep in mind, he was in there, we now know, over an hour. Those children hid, and four of them survived.
We do have former Kansas City, Missouri police captain Mark Terman, good friend of the program, on the hotline. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing well. I'm assuming that you were able to hear some of what Pierre Thomas had to say. There are, of course, as you know, reports coming out that the gunman was in the school for more than an hour. As a former member of law enforcement, somebody who I'm sure has received training, maybe even gave training in these regards, your reaction to all of this?
Well, yes to both. You know, it's hard to comment on something when there's just not a lot of information. We don't know what's going on. Some of the new training, I can tell you this. Some of the new training, especially in Kansas City, is to make an immediate entry with whomever you have, with whatever you have, and do what you can. Now, Kansas City, of course, is more prepared, and the metropolitan area here is more Yes. prepared per officer than, say, a lot of rural cities. And I don't know, of course, and none of us know what the real preparedness level of the officers in those small Texas towns are. Perhaps they're very prepared. Unfortunately, it's all speculation.
One of the questions I had for you, Mark, we've all been told that we are fortifying our schools. We can't really do anything else but fortify the spaces where we send them every day. And one of the things that we have heard is that the officers who did go in initially were not able to get to the children because they were locked inside with the gunman behind a steel door. And then it took time to run down a master key that apparently the principal had, but you had to run down the principal during chaos, find a master key to then go in, which might be part of the reason that it took an hour or more to get inside to help those kids. I guess your thoughts about the layout, and we're supposed to feel safer about the steel door, and I think now we're having parents go, well, yeah, it's safe until you're trapped inside with a person who's evil.
Right. You know, again, part of the issues and the fear here is we're dealing with partial information at best. And because it's partial, there are lots of assumptions going on. So naturally, your fears are correct. Wow, are my kids going into a room where they can't get out? And if the bad guy gets in there, then everybody's together. And that's a bad thing. So that would not be something generally recommended. So that to me does not sound like a likely scenario, but we just don't have enough information right now. What is being taught and what's been taught across the country is for basically any emergency for a school, the kids have three options: evacuate, relocate to another location, or relocate to an internal location like a tornado in case of tornado. And in these instances, one of those three options or all of them may be used depending on the scenario and depending on how the alerts are done through the school. So there are a lot of factors: how the school's set up, how does, you know, the entry and exit. And I know you guys have talked a lot about that here, putting armed guards at the doors, having the door secured, getting in and out. So this, all of those dynamics come to play in these critical incidents.
Former Kansas City, Missouri police captain Mark Terman, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for it.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. 913-586-7798. As we mentioned before, that is the new phone number. It's not only the number to call in, but it is the new text line number as well. It's a Kansas side number, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. We are going to celebrate small victories with the phone lines today. They are working, which was not the case earlier, so obviously we're making progress. If you just tuned in, the number to call in and to text in to the radio station has changed by one digit. It's a Kansas side number now, by the way, 586-7798. A story here from the Kansas City Star, as if tragedy could only get more tragic. The husband of one of the fourth grade teachers the husband of one of the fourth grade teachers killed in the Uvalde school shooting on Tuesday, has died. Irma Garcia, who was a 23-year veteran teacher at Robb Elementary School, was killed on Tuesday when the gunman entered the campus. Her husband, Joe, reportedly suffered a fatal heart attack shortly after Irma's passing, according to the Fox affiliate in San Antonio. The Garcias shared four children together and loved barbecuing. Irma Garcia wrote in her biography, on the Uvalde School District's website.
We also know that there was at least one Texas sheriff's deputy, Scott, who lost a child in that school. Mm. And there certainly were other officers who had children in that school. We go back to the question, then, why did it take so long for them to get in, to go in, especially now knowing there were four survivors, one of whom, by the way, Scott, covered herself in her classmates' blood and played dead.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Let's go to Gerald in KCK. Gerald, good afternoon. You are the first caller on the new phone number. Hello.
Guy, hello.
Hi, Gerald.
It's great to talk to you, too. Listen, I was a custodian for a number of years in the school, and I went to college nights. That's why I worked days. But you, if you can get a policeman or a retired policeman or someone, you know, qualified to work as a custodian, that would be an excellent opportunity to have security in the building. You see, they could, the custodian, if you want to know what goes on in a building, you ask the custodian because they know they're all over the building
point.
All the time.
Great point.
And I think that way they would have had been covered from the inside as well as the outside. And also, you could acquire, you could have them carry a device, which we do have. I'm in assisted living now, believe it or not. That would have numbers on it. What classroom? Which whatever's going on in there, the teacher could just push a button and notify him, and he would know right away what classroom that is. That would be not difficult to do. It wouldn't cost that much money. The person could be doing some work, and the building would be much more secure because we're not going to completely stop this, but we put as many roadblocks in it as possible. But that would have helped tremendously because the guy would have been in a cross one way or another. At least they would have had someone on the inside, you see.
Yes, Gerald. And we also know in the last couple of hours, Scott, that the initial reporting by authorities that the SRO was on site and engaged the suspect is not true. The SRO was actually not there and responded after. And we don't know where the SRO was, how far away he was from school grounds. There was no SRO there.
Did I also understand this news conference that was held right before we went to air, Dana, to indicate that not only was the school resource officer not on site, but there was no actual engagement with
Correct.
The shooter. He shot at the two police officers who were chasing him, but they did not return fire.
Correct.
Is that correct?
The quote was from the Texas Department of Public Safety. He walked unobstructed inside.
Okay. And he did enter. We have confirmed.
Yes.
Through this news conference right before we went to air, he did enter through an unlocked back door to the school.
The suspect was not confronted by anyone before entering the school. That is straight from the Texas Department of Public Safety.
You know, not that there is any silver lining in any of this, but the fact that it happened at the very end of the school year, I can only imagine. My brother happens to be in administration in a high school in Wichita. I haven't talked to him about this, but I imagine I probably will over the weekend. I would guess that school administrators nationwide are going to be spending their summer months reassessing the security on every school in America.
Didn't we do that?
I thought we did.
After the failed response at Parkland.
And I thought we did it
would
after
the authorities
Sandy
Hook. Not have known this in Texas? That the problem in Parkland was no one went in.
I almost gave out the old number, 586-7798. It's a Kansas side number, by the way. That's important.
God help the person that now has 576-7798.
Right. calling in for Dana? 586-7798. Quick break for the news. We'll get back to your calls, your comments here in just a moment on Dana and Parks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And a good afternoon. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, please bear with us today because we are going to be, through the course of this afternoon, experiencing a little bit of growing pains. The phone number, the call-in number has switched. Everything regarding calling into the show has kind of changed. And so as we get, we're like the Sipowitz from NYPD Blue. We don't do change well on this show. So as we adjust to the new system and try to keep things flowing as the show normally does. Well, that would be bad anyway. But you get my point. Just bear with us as we are going through these growing pains with you. And the number has changed to call into the show. It's 586-7798.
At a 913 to call and to text, 913-586-7798. That spells out, this is so stupid, who made this decision?
I did not know that. That was a lot of letters. Let's go to Dave in Liberty. Dave, good afternoon. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Dave.
All right. One
that
thing,
still works. Yeah,
one thing has not changed.
Still got to turn your radio down.
We do still operate in a delay, 8-second delay. So you've got to turn down the radio in the background before we come to your call. Let's try James in Oak Grove. James, hello.
Hey, I was on hold.
Oh, hi. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm a police officer, paramedic. I teach law enforcement active shooter response and fire and EMS rescue task forces, which is responding to these type of incidences. And, man, I got a lot to say about this.
Please, just James, just go.
I tell you what, in the 20 years that I've been teaching active shooter response, it's changed. We used to, you know, you wait until you get a four-man team to go in there. And then you go in there, and that stops. You go in now. When you get there, I grab my helmet, my plates, and my rifle, and I go in and deal with the threat. If you look at, like, Parkland, they use the Rescue Task Force principal down there. They did that in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub. Firefighters, paramedics, you know, you get a couple of cops, the first two cops you get there with you, the first two ambulances or paramedics or firefighters that get there, we clear it. You can go as far as room 215 on the second floor. You're clear up there. They go in and they start rescuing people out of there, evacuating the injured out of there, because time is critical in this.
What James, can I ask you for the layperson, what doesn't make sense to me is there are videos now emerging of so many police officers standing outside. And there are parents screaming. And one of the things I said to Scott in the newsroom is, why are they outside? I mean, shouldn't this be an all hands on deck? What have we learned since Parkland? Everyone go in at the point that dads are screaming, let me go in.
You know, I really can't answer that because I don't know the details on what was going on there. It seems highly unusual that they'd wait outside, because I know, you know, for me as an officer, the heck with that, I'm going in. We're going to go make a difference. And, you know, the parents, you know, stuff you need to ask your teachers. I do this at my kid's school, and they never get this answer because of the shocked look on their face. But I ask them, you know, can you lock your door from the inside? Do you have to reach outside with a key to lock your door? What's your procedure for evacuating your kids out of your class? How do you break the glass in your classroom to get your kids out of there if you have to evacuate them? How often do you practice armed intruder drills? How often do you practice fire drills? Every school is going to, well, we practice fire drills once a year. You know what? There hasn't been a kid killed in a school-based fire since 1977. Everything in that school is designed for kids not to burn. There, very few schools take the school security seriously enough where you cannot get into a school. I'll guarantee you it'll come out. I'll bet money. I won't guarantee you, but I'll bet money that the door he went into was an unlocked door that's called the smoker's door. That's where the teachers and the people that work there, they go out that door to smoke so they can go back into their classroom and not have to carry their ID card, which will let them back in, or a key.
The other thing I will say, James, that we've learned is that at least one mom of two children inside was placed in handcuffs because she was so frantically begging the officers to go in, right? When they took her out of the cuffs, this mother ran to the school, jumped a fence. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Wow. Ran into the school and got her kids out. From a law enforcement perspective, this is what you don't want. You don't want parents saying, I am going to take over here because there's too many of you standing outside for whatever reason. No. I'm going in. Now you have another unknown adult running into the school, and she did end up getting her two kids out. I don't think there's any explanation you can give me, Scott, for the number of law enforcement officers while this is going on, mm-hmm. you see standing outside.
And I want to be very clear.
Almost like waiting for direct, like waiting for someone to say,
go,
go.
And I want to be clear on this program. You and I historically have been extremely pro police.
100%.
In fact, we've been accused of being too pro law enforcement. This does not, at least on the surface right now, it doesn't look good. It looks more like Parkland than it does one of the other school shootings in America, where the police, God bless them, did not go in. I'm trying to keep this nice. Did not go into the school. And as more and more details come out, it looks really bad.
Mrs. Gomez, a farm supervisor, said she was one of numerous parents first encouraging, then with more urgency, that police and other law enforcement go into the school. After a few minutes, she said, federal marshals approached her and put her in handcuffs, saying, you're being arrested for intervening in an active investigation. Ms. Gomez then convinced local Uvalde police, who she knew, persuade the marshals to set her free. Around her, the scene was frantic. She saw a father tackled and thrown to the ground by police and a third parent pepper sprayed. Once she was freed from her cuffs, Ms. Gomez made her distance from the crowd, jumped the school fence, and ran inside to grab her two children. She sprinted out of the school with them. videos circulating today on social media show frantic family members trying to gain access to Robb Elementary as the attack was unfolding, some of them yelling at police who blocked them from entering. Quoting from a mom, "Shoot him or something. They're all just parked outside. They need to go in."
A number of people keep asking on the text line, and I know people come in late. Has it been learned how he got into the school? Yes, through an unlocked back door to the school.
He was not confronted by anyone before entering and, quote, walked unobstructed inside. That is from the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Chris in Waverly. Chris, good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, this is Chris. I was just wondering about the parents. Have you heard anything about the parents? I haven't heard a word. Was the grandma the caretaker?
I believe the grandmother was. I did see a brief interview this morning with the grandfather of this person thing. I don't think a lot of news was made other than they found him and wanted to talk with him, them being the reporters. I know that the mom has done an interview with some news outlet, but I haven't seen or heard it. As for his father, I have no idea where or who he is.
Gotcha. I was just curious. I normally hear something like, you know, reaction, you know, my kid would never do this or shocked. And I was just curious. I hadn't heard anything about the parents. So,
Chris, I appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you for it. Let's go to David in Kansas City. David, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
This is probably not going to be popular, and it may not even be the case here, but what has it been, 3 days since this happened?
Two.
2 days, okay. And we want answers, but in a time where everybody wants to slash budgets and reduce workforces and shrink overhead, especially in police and like public safety, we expect them to be everywhere when we want them, do what we want them to do. They do have policies, they do have procedures, and we will find out what they are, but we've got to give it time to develop. We want answers now. That's how you get the wrong answers. We thought a school resource officer was there and returned fire immediately. That wasn't the case. That was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. We thought that two officers chased him in and were returning fire with him. We found that that's not true.
Right.
When we press for answers too quickly, we get the wrong answers.
Well, but let me remind you, and that's a fair point, but I do think it's natural for people to say what happened. The answers that you just recited
were given to us by the governor
of the state yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And he's getting information from somebody else. He's getting it from somebody else. Until you get all of the information compiled and can have one common agreed upon release on this is what happened, this is how it happened, this is a timestamp of events, chances are a lot of that's going to change and a lot of it's going to be wrong. But I know we all want answers. I know it's human nature. And more than likely, there was human error involved here, and there were probably policies that were not followed. But the public has to – I'm not a policeman either. I'm just saying that. The public has to understand that there are policies that they have and procedures that they have that we have no clue about. So why don't we give it a little bit of time to develop before we demand answers on it and stop speculating?
Well, it's a tragedy. But you say before we demand answers, how about the governor – or the police say simply, we don't know the answer to that yet. We're still working on it. I mean, it is the media's responsibility to convey what is given as official accounts.
Oh, shoot.
What?
I said, oh, shoot. I thought I cut out.
No, you're fine. We can hear you.
No. But the media was simply asking the questions. It was the governor who was giving this timeline. And what higher authority is there in a state than a governor?
No.
You would think, well, he must have asked these questions, he was given this information, this must be it, right?
Agreement on that. Yeah, we're in agreement on that. He probably shouldn't have done that, but tell me this. If a media goes up there and asks these questions and they say we don't know, they will be publicly skewered, won't they?
That is true, as I did at the beginning of this hour, because I don't buy it. I don't believe that 72 hours later, they don't have a timeline of when the officers went in. I don't believe it because they have body cameras that would show these things. I just don't believe it, Scott. Now, do they have a second-by-second breakdown of every single thing that happened?
No.
That we got with Columbine, I think, a year later after a task force, you know, with a fine-tooth comb went through every single piece of video. I don't think that's what parents are demanding today. they're demanding to know why it took an hour for them to get in there and to go in there. That's a fair question and one that could and should be answered by now.
Well, and if the answers are going to be a lot of we don't know or I don't know, then don't hold the news conference.
Right.
I mean, it's not. Or
if you're not going to tell us, don't stand there and say.
The purpose of a news conference is to provide news. You not knowing something is not news.
Yeah. This is 4 minutes ago. Representative Joaquin Castro of Texas late today called on the FBI to investigate the conflicting accounts from the authorities. That is 100% what needs to happen here. An outside, preferably federal agency needs to come in and take this over because, Scott, the trust in this community is gone.
Fair.
It's gone. The FBI has to come in. The DOJ, pick your agency and say, we are coming in. We are taking over. Give us all of the information you have, and then we will release a timeline. You have to have transparency when something like this happens.
Truth.
You have to have trust. In the last 24 hours, that is eroding more quickly than I have seen in, sadly, countless cases like this.
The telephone number here is 586-7798, 586-7798. It's a Kansas side number. That is also the text line. How you holding up in there, big fella? You doing all right?
I am not enjoying this for one second, but we'll get it hammered out.
Yeah, we will. We'll be all right. We'll get back to your calls, your comments in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Let's get right back to it. Steve in Paola. Steve, howdy. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, is there any chance that they could, and I'm no fan of insurance, and I don't have a problem with people holding guns, but is there any chance that we could force people that have guns to have insurance on those guns? And that way, if the insurance company finds you able to get insurance, and you have a high-powered gun or something like that, you're going to pay more for the high-powered ones and maybe less for the other. And if you don't have insurance, you're not going to get that thing registered.
I love the idea, Steve, in theory. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
Hell no.
Even statistically, we know that you are much more likely to have a suicide in your home, a homicide in your home. Do I think they're going to tie that to homeowners? I wish they would. I don't think they will.
No, they will not. Let's go to Guitar Pick Dave.
It's going to happen.
Hello.
No. Even statistically, we know.
All right.
Got to turn your radio down.
Come on, Guitar Pick Dave. You've called into the show enough. You know that.
I mean, you have to have homeowners insurance. You got a trampoline.
That's a fair point. But many people, especially those who are fervent, I don't mean that as an insult, fervent Second Amendment supporters will say to you these three or these four words, shall not be infringed. And they would argue, the NRA would argue, that requiring gun owners to be insured or to insure those guns is an infringement on their Second Amendment rights.
It also becomes a more or less monthly tax to simply be a gun owner.
Yeah, and then you're taxing a constitutional right, they would argue. And they may actually win that one in court.
Sure.
Joe in Overland Park. Joe, hello.
I got it, text. Hey, guys.
Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hello.
What in the Sam Hill? Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
I'm at work. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Go ahead.
I heard on the podcast earlier I was listening to, and it was a verified news report that some cops went in and got their own kids out and then refuse to let other parents do the same thing.
I have heard that there were officers who went in and got their kids out, and you can't fault them for that. I don't fault them for that, but I do understand what you're saying. If you're not going to let the other parents go in and you're pepper spraying a dad here and handcuffing a mom here.
Right. I think when the final report is written, yes, on the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, it will not, sadly, be a pretty picture for law enforcement. I don't say that with any sort of inside information, just what we've been hearing, what I've been reading. The news conference I watched earlier today with Dana out in the newsroom, I don't think that the follow-up report on this is going to be good for law enforcement. Guitar pick, let's try you again. Hello.
Hey, brother, man. How you doing? Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. Music.
Yeah. First off, Scotty, I got something for your Kiss cave for you. So, but beyond that, I really been trying to grasp what's going on, like you guys are talking about today. And what I have sewn together by different media outlets and watching everything I could from the state to news and everything. So when he shot his grandmother, there was a 911 call. He was being pursued by the police. That's when he wrecked the truck. People ran, including the officers, to see if he's okay. He gets out of the truck firing.
Yep.
Then runs. The SRO officer was one of those officers because he was right in the area of the school. He was firing at him as well. He fired, I believe, two rounds. So then the guy gets out of the truck and runs from the police. I'm wondering if the school was a target or was it just the convenience. I think he was after his family.
Well, I think it was because we now know that he posted on social he was going to a school. Let me tell you about the one hero border agent who the special forces ops guy, Scott, that eventually somehow got into that room and took this guy out. The Customs and Border Protection group today released a photo of the border agent's baseball cap. Looks like he's wearing a baseball cap. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A photo obtained by the New York Post shows a long rip, picture the top of the cap along the mesh white section on top of the cap as the bullet grazed his cap and his skull. He has four staples at the top of his head where he was grazed before he took that evil SOB out. And you see one of the guys before he goes in wearing a similar cap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy you want.
That's right.
Running into that school.
That's exactly right. All right, we're going to try to get in some other news of the day. We're not going to focus solely on Uvalde, Texas. We will get back to this story a little bit later on in the program. For those of you who like to store the phone number in your phone,
please do.
It has changed. And the text line is changed as well. They are both now this number, if you want to write it down and then store it into your phone, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798.
It spells out how dumb someone should be fired.
Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.